Well, here we are once again. This is session number 24, and this is Sojourning with the Sojourner. And in this time together, we're going to be looking at the joy of the Lord. And we're going to look at Psalms 84 as our basic scripture, but we're going to be then branching out into the joy of the Lord, what it means, what it's all about. So, turn to Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, and autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Selah. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in the courts, in your courts, than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. The joy of the Lord. Just think about this. The joy of the Lord. Now, I know it sounds like that this is something that I'm sort of stuck on here, but it all started in the Garden of Eden long ago when God made mankind. Do you realize that in the Garden of Eden, man was in total blessing from God? Man walked in God's blessing, lived in God's blessing, continually received God's blessing. Everything that man experienced was God's blessing until what we call the fall, when mankind ate from the forbidden tree. Then we learn later in the book of Genesis that God starts blessing man again. And in Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20, it says, And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. That doesn't seem like a whole lot there, but let me tell you that living in God's blessing means that you go by God's rules. You do things God's way. We live in a society today that wants to morph God into what they want as a God, rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to morph them into a new creature. They somehow find it okay to resist what God wants, and then cannot figure out why there's no joy or blessing hardly in their life. Rebellion is really rife among those people, not just in the world, but those people who claim Christ as their Savior. Now notice I didn't say their Lord, because many have missed that first comes the Lordship as well as the salvation, that Christ is Lord and Savior. Now, Have you ever wondered about when people started telling, when God really started telling in His Word about blessing people? You see, we see here where Abram becomes involved with Melchizedek, and then he gives him tithes of all his victories and that he's had and everything that he has. I will tell you, and this is not a message on tithing, but I will tell you that tithing is a part of the blessing. And many people say, well, I don't believe in tithing, and they can't figure out why they keep missing the blessing. Because how much of the blessing that we get tends to depend on how much of it we are willing to abide by and with of God's desire for us. You know, no farmer plants a field and doesn't expect to get a harvest. At the same time, no farmer would not at all plant and expect a harvest. Because you have to plant something to get a harvest. So, God started, we learn in the book of Genesis, blessing man again, but there were specific blessings to specific people. Sometimes for specific things. Well, you see, in the Garden of Eden, there was only blessing on mankind. The blessings of mankind is God's desire. You see, God wants to bless mankind. And the blessing of mankind is His desire and His will for all mankind. That's why I keep going back to the garden. People feel like God's out there getting ready to swat them or stomp them or somehow wants to get them and mess them up because He's mad at them. God's desire for mankind is found, first of all, in the Garden of Eden. That's why it's so important for people who are anti-God to destroy any belief or understanding in the garden. Because once you destroy the foundation, once you destroy the beginning, then you can construct anything. And so, unfortunately, that's what they attempt to do. But the blessing of mankind is God's desire, as I said, and it's will for all mankind. You say, I don't feel very blessed. If you only knew what I must deal with every day and the people in my family, neighborhood, or work, you're right. I may not know each and every challenge you face each day, but God does. And you say, well, I don't live a very happy life. I'm miserable. You see, these things about which many complain are events or happenings in any given day. When feelings rule our lives, they are attached to what? To happenings. What happened? Happenings and our interpretation, and let me stress, our interpretation of a happening. So, happenings and our interpretation of them are thereby feelings translated into happiness or lack of happiness. In other words, sometimes the problem is not the real problem. Sometimes it's our response to the problem that becomes the problem. Sometimes we will put onto other people and events our own attitudes and behaviors or responses. When in point of fact, they are our own attitudes and responses. We own them and we're responsible for them. I know that a person can be attacked viciously, but that doesn't mean you have to respond viciously. Sometimes the things that upset people the most are their perceptions of an event or whatever happens rather than the event itself. But it is this view which often destroys faith, because people go, well, it just never changes. My life is awful. You know, the people at work are terrible. My family's mean to me. Nobody understands. Boy, if you had some of the relatives I have, if you had some of the neighbors that I have, you would understand. I often hear people ask me, how can I increase my faith? Because they've seemed to have lost their faith. Not because of something that God has done, but because of their response to happenings around them. Now, there is this assumption that if God is God and God's in my life, people start to think everything should just be beautiful and fine. Let me explain something to you. Everything will not always be beautiful and fine. And my answer to these people is, you need to understand the blessing. It's very important. Now, happiness and joy also get confused with one another. Before we look at the blessing, let's look at joy. Now, joy is not dependent on happenings or feelings. Actually, feelings are tied to joy. If I am a joyful person, I am joy-filled. If I am joy-filled, then my interpretation of events will not deprive me of my joy because I know events change, can be changed, or will change. That doesn't mean that I'm pleased with everything that happens around me, every little encounter. That doesn't mean I'm pleased with that, but I don't have to lose my joy simply because of something that happened. I'll tell you, my friend, if you're the sort of person who loses your joy, or you just get down in the dumps over every little thing that happens, you're out of control. Because you're actually forfeiting control of your life to others. Now, isn't it interesting that people will not forfeit control? They want to be Christians, but they won't forfeit control and lordship of their life because they say, it's my life and I'm in charge, thereby negating their relationship with Christ. And at the same time, allowing every little just piddling thing or person in the world to control their life by how they respond. That's a type of control. And we need to decide in our lives how we're going to handle that. Because I will tell you, events will change, events can be changed, or they simply will change. A joyful person is a hope-filled person. When you lose hope, you won't even try. I was with some congressmen recently and being briefed on some things with some other pastors, and they said, we want you to leave this encounter with us encouraged. And they said, the reason we want you to be encouraged is because discouraged people don't do anything. Because they think there's no hope. They're exactly right. Hope is much like a savings account. You either possess it or you don't. Now, this is the way I like to explain it. If you were suddenly hit with an unexpected bill of, say, $5,000 or $10,000, and you wanted to pay that bill, if you had $5,000 or $10,000 in a savings account, you would have hope, because hope is something you possess. If you didn't have $5,000 or $10,000 in a savings account, then what you would have would be a wish that you did have $5,000 to $10,000. Or you might wish that someone would loan you $5,000 or $10,000, but you wouldn't have the hope because you didn't possess it. Can you see here how Jesus being our blessed hope is so important? Because Jesus is something that we possess because we have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. Very important to understand. If we don't get some of the basic words that we use and their definitions in our life and in our mind, we can find ourselves very confused, very depressed, and totally out of sorts. Now, many people have heard the words from the book of Nehemiah. For the joy of the Lord is our strength, or is your strength. That's found in Nehemiah 8:10. This verse is especially used in connection with spiritual warfare. And believe me, without the joy of the Lord, a person is too weak for a spiritual battle. But as some of us were discussing a little bit ago, we were basically born on a battlefield, and we have to be prepared for that. You know, some people never really get into spiritual battles because they let all the cares of life beat them down so far. The devil never has to attack them. The devil just never has to attack them because they're already so defeated, so hopeless, so faithless, that all they do is wring their hands and wonder about life. So why do people of faith seem to be so full of joy of the Lord? Now I'm talking about people of faith, not people who claim faith. I'm talking about people who live in faith. Understand something. Faith is not a belief. A belief is a belief. Believing in Christ, believing that He is the Son of God, believing that He was raised from the dead, I need to tell you something. Satan believes that. Satan believes that. So, believing just isn't it. Faith. What is faith? Faith is belief put into action. Faith is only active. It is not passive. When you go to cross a bridge with a vehicle, you cross that bridge because you believe it is a solid bridge. But that's not faith. Faith is when you take your vehicle onto that bridge and use it. That's the difference between belief in Christ and faith in Christ. It's only when it's put into action. It's the only time. I went out again today. We had warnings of severe thunderstorms with 60 mile an hour plus winds that could cause great damage. So I did what I always do. I went out in the yard and said, "Peace be still." Laugh if you want to, but there's a lot of verified times when tornadoes have disappeared from our community. And you know what happened today? Never got touched. Never got touched. That's the difference between, yes, I believe God could change a storm. Well, sure, could. But do you believe He would? And if you believe He would, do you believe He will change this storm? You say, "Oh, yes, I believe in healing." Well, fine. You believe He could? "Oh, yes, yes, Pastor, I believe He could. I believe He could." Do you believe He would? "I believe He would. I believe He would for people." Do we believe He would for you? "Well, now, I don't know about that, Pastor." You see? Will He for you? "Well, now, He might. If he feels like it, or maybe He wants to teach me something with me being sick, or maybe He's just playing with me." That is not the way God works. There is no scripture to support that. You see, it is God's will for His people to live in the blessing. Now, what is the blessing? And why do people of faith seem to be so full of joy of the Lord? People full of faith, you know what that means? It means people full of what? Action. Doesn't it? If belief is just believing without doing anything, and then faith is action, then faith-filled people are action-filled people. If your spiritual life isn't full of action, you may be a believer, but you're not a faither. Because faith always is in action. So now what about the blessing? When a person understands the blessing, they cannot help but be joyful because they know what? They know from Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon formed against them will prosper." Now that's blessed. Now you say, "Well, what's a weapon?" Well, a weapon can be what you formed in your own mind. But you see, If you form this weapon in your own mind that holds you back and holds you down and tells you what you're not and tells you what you can't do and tells you that this won't ever work out and that sort of thing, that's a weapon you formed yourself. Do you understand that the devil sometimes doesn't even have to form weapons against people because people sometimes are so busy forming weapons against themselves, there's no necessity to it. You know, I heard a man say one time about another fella, he said, you know, if it wasn't for bad judgment, that man would have no judgment at all. And for some people, if it weren't for bad thoughts, they would have no thoughts at all. Now, bad, I'm not talking about sinful kinds of thoughts and the way newest people would think of that. I'm just saying negative, stinking thinking thoughts where they think that nothing's ever going to turn out right for them. Their life will never change. Everything will just always be the same. And boo-hoo, poor me. My life is just a mess. Now, that's what they think, and they don't think there'll be any change in it. But the blessing says that God wants to give His people all good things, that He will even grant riches to them. Now, don't get upset with me because I'm saying God might grant riches to you. Take it up with God. I'm just reporting the news here, the good news. How much good news is there if I get up here and I say to you, you know, God wants you broke, you'll always be broke, you're never going to have a decent meal or a decent roof over your head, and life will always be terrible. Is that good news? I don't see that as good news. I'm sorry. It's not good news. And that would indicate that we had a God that was so weak and so feeble that He could not bless His people. Now, when I talk about His people, I'm talking about people who are believers and faithers. God's kingdom is the kingdom of blessing. Let me say that again. God's kingdom is the kingdom of blessing. He desires blessing. How do we know? Well, I started out saying it all started in the Garden of Eden long ago when God made mankind. He blessed them with every good thing. They did not have to work or toil. They had it all. Do you understand that most people spend all of their time in rebellion to God because what are they doing? They work for their living, not understanding that you work for your giving. And it is in response to your giving and your seed planting and all this sort of thing that God then blesses you. Well, how can He do that? I don't see how He could do that. That can't be true. How would you know if you've never tried it? How would you know if you've never followed God's recipe? I mean, if you pulled out the recipe for the angel food cake and you'd never followed it, what complaint would you have that you didn't have an angel food cake when you opened the oven? It requires what? Action. What did I say? Faith is action. You say, well, I have needs. God does not respond to your needs. God knows you have needs. The scripture tells us that He knows what you have need of before you ever ask. What does He respond to? He responds to faith. He responded to the faith of Abram, turned him into Abraham, made him the father of many nations. God responds to faith, and people who are faith-filled people are people who live and walk in the blessing. Why? Because if God does not keep His word, He wouldn't be God. Sometimes we confuse God with us. If we're people who have ever gone back on our word or kind of fudged on our word or whatever, we start thinking God's the same way. No, God is what God is. He is that He is, neither created nor made. You see, believers reside in the blessing. In it and under it. If you're a believer, you're under the blessing of God. You've heard people say they're under condemnation or they're under conviction or they're under these different things. If you're a believer who walks in faith, you're under the blessing. You're in the world of lack, but not of the world of lack. Had you ever thought of it that way? If you're in the world but not of it, what does it mean? It means you don't have to live like the world. It means that the whole economy can go belly up. If gasoline goes to $10 a gallon, that would be quite an increase, wouldn't it? That would be an increase of three times what it's been in recent times. But what if your income went to four times? Then how much would the effect how much would it affect your lifestyle on the price of the gas, you see? God will work things out for you when you operate in faith in His kingdom, not yours. People, do not try to drag God into your kingdom. Jump into His. Jump into His. You know, that first verse in Psalm 84 says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty." It does not say, "How lovely is my dwelling place, O Lord, jump in with me." It says, "How lovely is your place." That's what it tells us. It also tells us in verse 11 of Psalm 84, "No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Now you say, "Oh, now wait a minute, my walk is not blameless. I have sinned." God didn't see that. If your sins are covered by the blood of Christ, stop going back into the law. You have been redeemed by Jesus the Christ. Your walk is blameless because He took all of your sin upon Him. Get a grasp of that. I run into people who say they're Christians and they spend all their time trying to redeem themselves rather than accept the redemption, which is what? A blessing from God, because it's an unmerited favor, isn't it? It's called grace. When I know my condition is one of being continually blessed, then I am filled with the joy of the Lord. Wouldn't you be? Aren't you? If you know that your condition is one of being continually blessed, no matter what weapons anybody tries to form against you, if you've burned all your weapons that you've formed against you, and you're not walking in those anymore, and you're walking with the Lord, and you have the joy of the Lord, it doesn't make any difference what happens, because you know, no matter what it looks like, God will turn it to the good. The Scripture tells us that He will enter into any situation and turn it to the good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Well, now think about this a minute. Are called according to His purpose. That must mean not according to your purpose, but His purpose. Do you understand how little tweaking it would take in the lives of most people to revolutionize their lives? Absolutely revolutionize their lives. But sometimes we just drift back into that old stinking thinking. I will tell you, the only way you can get out of that kind of thinking is to live in the kingdom of the blessing. And the only way you can do that is to be in the Word of God each and every day, being reminded, because the world will hit you so many times every day to tell you who you're not, what you can't do, what can't happen. All they know, all the facts. But you see, with God, facts don't count. What counts with Him is faith. Faith counts. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why you don't get sucked into your feelings over happenings. And then sometimes I'm happy and sometimes I'm not happy. Let me tell you, when you're joyful, you may see things and happenings that don't really bring happiness, but you know that God will prevail in whatever that situation is. You just know that. The joy of the Lord is of Christ. And it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the blessing, my friends. The kingdom of the blessing is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not treating you like you are on the end of a yo-yo, going to bless you one day and then knock you down the next day and then bless you another day. If you believe that, you are woefully mistaught or have woefully misunderstood the Word of God. Because if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is, then the blessing is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the message for this time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to Your throne boldly. Why? Because Your Word says we can. We come redeemed. And if we are not, we can repent and know that you will meet us. You will greet us. You will come out as the father of the prodigal did, with the signet ring for our finger and the robe to put around our shoulders, and call out and call forth a great feast to welcome us into your kingdom. We thank you so much, Lord. We are so grateful. We are so grateful. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would send us a special anointing and understanding of discernment so that we can discern what is the blessing, what is the blessing of the kingdom, and how we are to walk and live in it. That we are not helpless and hopeless, but we have been helped and we are filled with hope and joy. We proclaim it in Jesus' name, and we thank you that we can come to you where two or three are gathered together and agree in prayer and know that it will be answered. Not hope it'll be answered, but know it'll be answered, because we are operating in faith, and we thank you for it. And we claim Jesus the Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we thank you for the blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's all for this session. Hope to see you again soon. Bye now. The blessing.